Your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We were here last Sunday. Galatians 5, down in verse 13. You remember the letter of Galatians was written to warn of false teachers and deceptions that had come into the church, infiltrated the churches in Galatia. False teachers had come in, the Judaizers, and they were teaching that Jesus wasn't enough. Yeah, you needed Jesus, but it was Jesus plus works, Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus the commands and the feast and the celebration days. And they were binding them up in legalism. And so it was Jesus plus what you could do in your own effort. And some of the strongest and harshest words in all of the Scripture are spoken in this letter to these false teachers and those who would follow them into that deception. But as we come here to this passage, Galatians 5, verse 13 through 16, the attention is now turning back to these believers and the calling that is upon them in Christ. And it is a calling to liberty. To liberty. And that's what Christianity is. It's a calling to liberty. It's a calling to freedom. And so this message is about the Christian's liberty. I shared last time, there's a lot of talk about freedom today. A lot of talk about liberation today and rights today. And everyone wants to be liberated. Everybody wants to be able to do what is right in their own eyes. No accountability. Everyone wants to satisfy their own desires, no matter how wicked they are, and no one can judge and no one can say anything. As a matter of fact, you got to get on the train and applaud all of it. And that's how we've been living these last few years, especially. It's a cry for freedom. It's a cry of liberation. But the world's definition of freedom and the Bible's definition of freedom are entirely different things. Man's idea of freedom is to be able to live however he wants to live without restraint. Just let me do whatever I want to do. Let me satisfy the desires of my own heart. They think that's freedom. But the Bible would say that man, that woman is enslaved. They're not free at all. They're chained down to sin. They're a slave. And so true freedom, biblical freedom, is found in Christ, in Him alone, in Christ. In John 8, verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And that's where freedom is. Anything less than that is to be enslaved. And throughout the book of Galatians, we see this freedom that we have in Christ spoken of. It's expounded throughout the whole book. And we see it in Galatians 2, verse 4, Galatians 4, verses 3 through 7, 4, verse 21 through 31, Galatians 5, 1, all of that and more speak of the liberty, the freedom that is ours in Christ. And the calling in the book of Galatians to us who are in Christ is to stand fast in that freedom. Stand fast in the liberty that is ours in Christ. Don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't turn back to the law and trying to use the law as a means to be saved or have acceptance before God, nor turn to a liberty in Christ that just is a license to sin and do whatever you want. And so it's a calling to stand in the true freedom we have in Christ. There is a freedom that we have in Christ. Amen. And we need to know what that freedom is and be standing in that freedom and not be moved from that freedom. It is the Christian's liberty. Now, what is it? What is this freedom? Well, that's what these verses are all about, the Christian's liberty. Look down at Galatians 5, down in verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's stop there. Father, again, we We ask you to help us as we open your word. God, this is beyond us. We know that spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and your Holy Spirit is the teacher. And so, God, we long for your presence and your power to help us. God, you know us. You know where we are. You know what we need. I pray that you'd enable me to make these truths known. I pray that you would stomp the enemy under our feet, and every distraction, God, would be non-existent, and Christ would become all in all, God, in our heart, in our thoughts, in our mind, in this place, in this service today, God. Help us to see what true freedom in Christ is, and teach us from your word, and establish us upon the truth of it, God, that we might be those who live in the freedom we have in Christ. And if there be any among us today, God, that do not know that freedom, that are not in Christ, that God, you would save them today, that they would know the freedom that is in Christ. And so, God, help us. We need you today. Your will be done in us. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in these verses, we see what it truly means to be free in Christ. If there's a freedom that we have in Jesus, what is that freedom? These verses make that freedom very clear, the Christian's liberty. It is defined for us, and we need to understand it. We need to know what this freedom is, because there is much confusion today regarding the freedom that is ours in Christ. I shared last time, there's always a ditch on either side of the truth. On either side of the straight and narrow way, there's a ditch on either side that you can fall into. And on one side of our freedom that we have in Christ is the ditch of legalism. Legalism. And those in that ditch think that they can merit their standing before God by their own effort, by their own deeds, what they can do. And so many people live in that reality. They think, well, if I'm just good enough, if I just try to obey God and be a good person, then one day I'm going to go to heaven. And they're bound up in legalism and their own efforts and all that they can do to merit salvation before God. And they're in a ditch. And even a believer can fall into that ditch. We can get to thinking, you know, if once we're saved, we can drift and begin to think, well, you know, if I just do enough, if I just pray enough, read my Bible enough, if I just, you know, dot enough I's and cross enough T's, then God will be pleased with me. I'll have His favor. And before long, it's all based on what we can do instead of what we have been given in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. And that freedom is the freedom that we have, that Christ has done it all. We're not saved by what we can do. We're not saved by how good we are. And we're not accepted by God once we are saved by how good we can live and if we can dot every I. It's all in Christ. Christ has made us accepted before God. It's all finished. It's all done. We have salvation in Him alone, and we have acceptance and favor from God in Him alone. Nothing that we can do. It's all through Him. But then there's this other ditch on the other side, and that is the ditch of liberalism. And those in this ditch are those who believe that their freedom in Christ gives them a freedom to now, you know, just live however they want to live. I'm saved. I've been forgiven. I'm accepted by God in Christ, so it really doesn't matter how I live. It really doesn't matter if I'm faithful to church. It really doesn't matter if I'm sharing the gospel. It really doesn't matter if I'm obeying God and seeking God, because I'm saved. And they have now a license to sin, a freedom just to live however they want to live without consequence. And that's another ditch. And we can fall into that. We can drift from our salvation to this idea that it really doesn't matter how I live. And we get in this zone of comfort, complacency, where we're comfortable here and we're obeying God and serving God at a level that's comfortable to us. And we're not really growing. We're not really serving. We're not going after Him. We've drifted into this rut and we're making excuses for all the things that God has called us to do that we don't do. And we think we have the liberty just to sit there because, hey, I'm not saved by what I do. Really doesn't matter. God understands. Sin isn't really that big of a deal. But the truth is this, our Christian liberty, our freedom in Jesus, is not a freedom now to live in sin without consequence. nor is it a freedom to get all bound up in the law as a means of salvation or acceptance before God. But it is a freedom now to have a new nature. A new nature. Transformation on the inside. The law of God written on the inside. A new desire, new power, Holy Spirit power to now serve God, obey God, go after God in love. In love. Now, we were looking at this last time, we began at least. So let me review just a little bit, and we're going to try to pick up where we left off. But three things concerning true Christian liberty, true Christian freedom. Number one, we see the calling to Christian liberty. Verse 13, for you brethren have been called to liberty. The calling to Christian liberty. We have been called to liberty. That is a foundational truth of Christianity. If we are in Christ, we have been called to liberty. That is a calling we have. We're not called to be all bound up in legalism and laws and requirements. We have been called to freedom. That is the calling we have in Christ. We have been set free in Christ. And part of that freedom that we have in Christ has to do with our freedom concerning the law. To what degree? We're no longer under bondage of a legal system of laws and requirements. We're not enslaved to that anymore. Galatians 5 verse 6, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. He's going back to the law. The Jews were those who were circumcised, set apart, covenant people, laws of God. But he's saying here, God is saying through Paul, doesn't matter if you're circumcised as a Jew or you're a Gentile who's never been circumcised, none of that now avails anything. That will not get you saved. That will not make you right with God. There's nothing there in that. It's irrelevant. In Christ, we're set free from the law as a means of being saved. This law, all the commands of God, trying to strive to do all that and obey all that will never get anyone into heaven. Never. It can only examine our hearts and show us what is right and wrong and warn us of the fact that we have gone our own way and we are in need of salvation. It can show us our need of salvation, but it'll never save us. Only Christ can save us. We are made right with God not by what we can do, but by what Christ has done. And even this side of heaven, or this side of salvation, I should say, all these years of being saved and striving after God and hopefully growing in God, there's not a shred of anything I have to offer up to God that would get me into heaven. My only hope is Jesus. To this day, my only hope is Christ and what He did on the cross. Amen. That's our only hope. That's the freedom we have. We are free from the law as a means of being saved. And then we're free from the condemnation of the law. I mean, that law condemns a man. That law slays a man or a woman, condemns them in sin, undone, unclean, separated from God, headed for hell. But in Christ, we're no longer condemned. In Christ, we're set free from that law, and it doesn't have condemnation upon us. We are washed pure in the blood of Christ. It will never condemn us again. Not now, not ever. What about tomorrow if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I sin again, but I'm in Christ? Well, then it's paid in full. You are pure in the blood of Jesus. That law can no longer ever condemn you. You're made right with God through Him, and it's been paid in full. You're accepted by God. In Christ, only in Christ. And so if we are saved, we have abandoned the law as a means of salvation and our own effort and everything that we can do, and we have placed ourselves fully upon Christ and what He has done on the cross as our only hope of salvation. Amen? That's what salvation is. To realize, boy, I'm a sinner. I can't do it. I'll never be good enough. To abandon all of that and just fall at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, please forgive me and save me. And all your faith goes upon Christ and the cross. It's done. It's done. And that salvation changes the inside. We spoke about that. Not only, you know, are we free from the law, but we now have a freedom to serve God with a new nature. and a new power we never had before. But what is the motive? Out of love. Not legalistic requirement, but out of new God-empowered love. And so salvation is where God changes us on the inside. And we know that if we're saved, there's an old man that's now dead, and there's a new man, there's a new creation, there's new desires, there's new power, there's Holy Spirit indwelling, and we have a desire to go after God and love God and serve God, and we have new divine enablement and zeal and passion to that end that was never there when we were lost. There's a new disposition in us. Everything has changed in the believer. We now hate our sin, and we love God. New desires, new power to serve God, go after God, but out of love. That's the freedom we now have in Christ. It's the setting of a man free in Christ. Free from the bondage of the law, free from the condemnation of the law. He's forgiven, he's accepted by God, fully cleansed of sin and made right through Christ and Christ alone. And it's the changing of that man's nature now to have Holy Spirit indwelling, everlasting life, new nature, new desires, new power to serve God out of love. That's the freedom we have. That's the freedom we have in Christ. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. The life of the true Christian is the life of a free man. Free. The second thing that we saw is the definition of Christian liberty. We start to get a little bit more specific here. What is Christian liberty? How do we define this? Two things. We looked at the first one last time. First of all, Christian liberty is not freedom to indulge the flesh, but to master it. We see this in verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. This is a warning. Yes, we have been called to liberty. Christ has set us free. We are no longer slaves of sin, no longer under the bondage of the law, no longer condemned by the law, cursed by that law, under divine judgment. We have been set free in Christ. But that does not mean we are now free to indulge the flesh, to indulge sinful desires. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And so we see very clearly here, when we're talking about, hey, I'm free in Christ, people throw that around all the time. What does that mean? Very clearly, that freedom that we have in Christ is not a freedom to indulge the flesh and continue in sin. That's not what we're talking about. We are not free just to go on living however we want. Oh, I'm saved. It doesn't really matter if I'm faithful to church. I'm saved. It doesn't matter if I'm obedient to God. I'm saved. I just let things slip. As if it's no big deal. That person doesn't know what freedom in Christ is. That's not your freedom in Christ. It's not our freedom in Christ to live just however we would want, go back into sin. That word opportunity, do not use your liberty as an opportunity, remember, means base of operation. Just as a military would go into battle, they would set up a base of operation, and from that base of operation, all their missions, all that they do would be planned, and it would all be orchestrated from that base. And so this is calling us to no longer let our flesh, that sinful part of us that remains, and it does, doesn't it? There's a part of me that it doesn't want to obey God. It's the sinful flesh. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. He said, I find then there's a law, an established fact, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Now, you know, when we were lost, there really was no will to do good. Not true good. Maybe a little bit of self-effort good, a little bit of boasting good, a little bit of, you know, we all have a heart and a conscience, and yeah, a little bit of right and wrong, and we would all consider us to be good people until we measure ourselves up against the holiness of Christ. And then we realize how vile we are. But that goodness that we tried to do, you know, own effort, our own ability, and we might try to do a little bit of good, but what we really did was we just served ourselves. Whatever suits me, whatever pleases me, that's how I live my life.
23 years of my life, I just gratified my flesh, whatever I wanted to do, whatever suited me, whatever pleased me. That was my base of operation. But now in Christ, you have new Holy Spirit indwelling, new nature, divine life. No longer is that flesh to be the base of operation. It's no longer to be the center of what I do. My flesh isn't to rule me and master me, but we are to rule and master our flesh. And we can through Holy Spirit power. And so our liberty in Christ does not in any way mean we're now free to just indulge the flesh. It doesn't matter, you know, what God says and all the things of God, because now that I'm saved, I don't have to worry about the law or my sin. It's really not that big of a deal. Oh, no. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for your flesh to do what you want to do. That's not freedom. That's not freedom in Christ. And the devil is quick to deceive. And there are a multitude of professing Christians who make excuses for their sin. I mean, that's where a lot of people live. We come across them out in the world or at our workplaces. They're like, yeah, I'm saved. Cuss like a sailor. No attendance at church. No real desire for God. But they think that they're saved. And they're somewhere, probably not even saved. Have never been born again. No new nature, no new desire, no new power to hate sin and love God. So we're not talking about that kind of a freedom. And the Bible warns of that. Jude 3 and 4, we mentioned that last time. It warns us of deceivers who would come into the church and turn the grace of God into a license to sin. Lasciviousness. I'm under grace. And it abounds more and more. But that doesn't mean just go sin. Absolutely not. Romans 6, 1 and 2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that the kind of freedom we're talking about? Hey, I'm under grace. Now I can sin it up. Doesn't matter? No, certainly not. And I mentioned 2 Timothy 2:19, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's the solid foundation of God. That's the desire of the true Christian's heart. I want to be departing from iniquity, fleeing from sin. That's the new power and freedom we have. And so understand that. Our freedom in Christ, I'm free in Christ, is not a freedom to just live in sin without consequence. It's a freedom to master sin and master the flesh. We looked at that with more depth last time. But secondly, picking up here, secondly, we think about this definition. What is Christian liberty? Christian liberty is not freedom to ignore the law, but fulfill it. But to fulfill it. And look at the last part of verse 13 and following. He says, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And so Christian liberty is not a freedom to now ignore the law. Hey, I'm not under the law. The law can't save me. The law's no big deal. It's not a freedom now to ignore the law, but rather it is a freedom to fulfill it. But through love, serve one another. Now, this is connected to what he has just said previously. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. That's the one hand, but now on the other hand, but rather use your liberty as an opportunity to serve one another. Serve one another. How? In love. But through love, serve one another. That's the freedom. Listen, that is the freedom we now have in Christ. It's not a freedom to just live it up in sin because we're no longer under condemnation, but rather it is a new power and it is a new freedom and it is a new nature and a new divine enablement to genuinely serve one another in love. Now this is a twofold command, much like we saw a couple of weeks ago back in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Twofold command there. As well, but this one is a command, one in the negative as well, and one in the positive. Again, one is telling us to slam on the brakes, and one is telling us to slam on the gas pedal and put the pedal to the metal and get going and get busy with this. And so in one sense, he's saying, do not use your liberty in Christ, your freedom in Jesus that you have. No longer are you condemned by the law. No longer can it say, you're free. Christ has done it all. Stand in that freedom. But don't use that as an opportunity to wander off in sin and disobey God like it's no big deal. Slam on the brakes. Don't you use that as an opportunity for your flesh. Put the brake on, but also slam on the gas. But what we are to do is serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Put the gas pedal down there and get going. And so this is what it means to be free in Christ. This is what it means to have a freedom in Jesus. It is to be changed by the power of God on the inside. That old selfish, wretched, consumed, prideful, undone sinner on his way to hell is now redeemed and has a new nature, Spirit of God living inside, new power, new desires, new motive to go after God and serve God and love God and obey God. That's what we're talking about, that kind of freedom. A freedom to serve God and one another in love. Now this word serve speaks literally of being a slave. A bond slave to someone. If we are in Christ, the Bible says that we are now bond slaves of Christ. And we are willing bond slaves. As we looked last time in Exodus, we have come to Jesus and He has taken the awl and He's pierced our ear. And we say, I want to serve my master. I want to love and obey Him. And so we are bond slaves of Christ. We also learn from Scripture that we are bond slaves of one another. Bond slaves of one another. And we are to serve one another in love. It is the word love, agape. Sacrificial love. We're talking about the love that God has for you and me. The love that Jesus has for you and me. He didn't love us because we deserved it. He loved us because He set His affection, His love upon us, even though we didn't deserve it. He determined He would love us no matter what, no matter what the cost. Sacrificial love. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 5, it tells us as believers, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That kind of love, the love of God Himself, has been poured out in our hearts as believers through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If we're in Christ, then the Holy Spirit of God is living in us. And then the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. We know that love. We've experienced that love. That love has just caused us to be undone. That love has swept us off our feet. That love has caused us to be in utter awe and reverence of such a God and who He is and what He has done for sinners such as us, you and me. The love of God is in us. And what does love do? It serves. It serves. But through love, serve one another. And so love, true love, the love of God, which is sacrificial, it sets aside self and it just serves the other person. Doesn't matter if they deserve it. It just serves them and loves them and serves and serves and serves and serves and serves, whatever the price, whatever the cost, whatever it takes. It's what love does. We see this so vividly portrayed and exemplified in the life of Jesus. What are we talking about here? Freedom to love and serve one another in love. Well, just look at Jesus. He had ultimate freedom. Was Christ free? Was He free before He ever came to this earth? Oh, yes, He was. Already enthroned in heaven. Already with all power, all majesty, all dominion, all might, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, all of creation under His feet. Absolute freedom. And yet He left the glory and majesty of heaven He lays aside his divine rights and he came to serve. Not to be served, not to claim his rights as God, not to command everyone to bow down and worship him, but he came to serve. He came to lay down his life. How far did he go? All the way to death. Not just death, but even the death of the cross. For who? Sinners. Undone, unworthy, vile, profane, worthy of divine judgment. Philippians 2, verse 7, we see that he took upon himself the form of a bondslave. The King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, takes on the role of a slave. John 13, we see Jesus gird himself with a towel. He puts it on full display. He bows down and he washes the dirty feet of his bickering, prideful, arguing disciples about who's the greatest. Jesus says, let me teach you about who's the greatest. And he becomes a slave and serves them in their pride and arrogance. Jesus said of himself in Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And so what are we talking about here? Well, just look at Jesus. He's the example of serving one another in love and through love. We're talking about true redemption. We're talking about a man or a woman who's now been saved. They have turned from self and sin. They have turned to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They have been born anew, born of God, born by the power of the Holy Spirit. Divine life imparted to them, and with that divine life, a new nature, a new power, a new desire, a new disposition. Everything has changed. I want to serve God. I want to love God. I want to obey God. I want to serve others. I want to be who He has called me to be. Out of love, not some legalistic requirement, not some burden we carry around. Well, I got to do this. I got to go to church. I got to read my Bible. No, I want to obey God. I want to go to church. I want to know Him. I want to be in the world. I want to be faithful in prayer. I want to be useful to God out of love. I want to serve others out of love for Him and love for them. And this is the calling. And that's the freedom. I'm talking about freedom in Christ. What are we talking about? Freedom to sin? No. You put that old man off, you kill that body of flesh, you kill that sin in the power of God, and what do? You now serve God and others in love. New power, new divine enablement, new motive to serve Him and others. You know, we live in a day of modern conveniences like never before. We can travel miles and miles in just minutes. We're getting ready to go to Brazil. It's going to take a few hours, but we're going to be around almost the bottom of the world in just a few hours. We can store food and cook food and prepare a meal literally in minutes. Just stop off on the way home if we want to. Pick something up. And on and on and on it goes. And yet with all those modern conveniences, it seems like we still just do not have enough time. If I just had more time. We're all so busy, and it seems like it's so hard in our day for any of us to pull away from our own lives, our own families, our own stuff, all that we got going on, and really take the time to serve God, serve one another. But this is the calling. In the midst of all that, be serving God and one another, but also truly serving God and obeying God, doing whatever He commands us to do out of love. This is the freedom we have in Christ, to serve one another, to serve God in love. We live in a messed up and broken world, don't we? Sin and deception has taken hold, and from that, everything that's wrong in this world flows. Why is this world messed up? Sin. Why is everything so broken? Sin. There are people hurting all around us. No doubt there's people hurting in this church right here. And oftentimes, you know, we can't fix their situation. We would want to. Can't change their circumstances, but they just need to know that somebody really cares. They just need somebody to come alongside and love on them and say, you know what, brother, you know what, sister, I'm praying for you. I know you're hurting, but I'm lifting you up to our Father. And I love you, and He loves you even more than that, and keep on keeping on. They just need to know that someone loves them. And that's the calling: through love, serve one another. There's many people just bound up in sin and deception. I mean, they're lost. And they are so lost. They don't have a clue that they're heading for destruction. They are stumbling to the slaughter. They think they know things. They think they've got it. They have no clue. They're just like we were when we were lost. Blinded by the devil. Given up to the god of this age. Just serving ourselves, living it up, going after so many things. No time for God. Lost. And they need someone to love on them enough to be willing to sacrifice their time, their agenda, and even the relationship, if need be, to ruffle that up and ruffle some feathers to say, you know what, I love you. And because I love you, I want you to know that you need Christ. You need Christ. You're going the wrong way. All of us have sinned. Christ has made the way. You need a Savior. And tell them about your story and how God saved you, and then tell them that they too need to turn to Jesus and be saved. They so desperately need that. But we're so busy, so busy, so busy, so busy, so busy. But we hold this gospel baton now in our hand. Been passed down from generation to generation to generation, and now here we hold this gospel truth, the word of the living God, in our hands, and we're to be out serving one another in love, in the power of Christ, and taking that gospel in love to anyone, anywhere, whatever the price, whatever the cost. That's the freedom we have. You know, talk about freedom in Christ. It's freedom to serve Him out of love, freedom to serve others and sacrifice ourselves for others out of love. And oh, how we need to grow and abound in this one thing: to truly serve Christ and one another in love. And so this is what true freedom in Christ will produce: a love for God, a love for others that will manifest itself in true service. Be a slave and serve others in the name of God through love. Now, some may think, you know, well, that doesn't really sound like freedom. Serving one another, laying down my life, just putting myself, my stuff aside to serve others, serving them, meeting their needs, that's freedom? Yes. Yeah. That's freedom. Why? As I said, because it's not some legalistic burden. If you find yourself saying, you know, it's a burden to serve God. It's a burden to be faithful. It's a burden to pray. It's a burden to be. It's a burden to set things aside to go out and minister to. If that becomes a bunch of a legalistic burden, then you're operating in legalistic requirement, and that's a miserable place to operate from. That's the flesh. You're free in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're free in Christ. You don't have to operate out of that anymore. I mean, there's a new nature. There is a new love. And as Crystal was praying, if we just get our eyes on God, get our eyes on Christ, everything that He has blessed us with in His Son, in our families, in salvation, in heaven, we're His. We're His forevermore. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And that begins to overwhelm us. I mean, you'll just be set ablaze to give Him everything. Not out of some legalistic requirement, but out of a motive of love. I want to love Him. I want to serve Him. I want to obey Him. I want to tell others about Him out of love, not some burden, not some legalistic requirement. Boy, this is freedom. Freedom. I get to be in the Word. I get to pray and talk to my Father who holds the world in His hands. I get to tell others about Him. We're doing this out of love and zeal and fire because He has loved us. New nature, new divine enablement. Notice here verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word,
Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is a profound statement. The liberty that we have in Christ is not a liberty to now ignore the law, but rather, I hope you see it there, it is to fulfill it. I've heard people say, you know, preacher, hey, we're not under the law, as if to say, preacher, don't, you know, lay off a little bit. Quit preaching that we ought to be doing this and God commands us to do that and all these things that we ought to be doing. Why don't you just lay off of that? We're not under the law, as if to use that as a justification for sin or disobedience or not doing what God had called them to do. Well, we're not under the law as a means of being saved. We are forgiven in Christ. But that freedom in Christ is not a freedom to now abandon the moral law, just, you know, make light of what God says. It's not a big deal if I really obey God and take those things to heart, but rather it is a freedom to now obey the law of God out of true divine power and love. Not legalistic requirement, get a hold of that, but love. And notice this, all the law is fulfilled in one word. That is such an amazing statement. An astonishing truth. All of the law. People say, oh, it's so confusing. All these things God commands. Well, God says, let me sum it up for you. Let me make it really simple. Every single command in this book toward God and one another is summed up in just one word. Love. Just love God. Just love one another. And you got the whole thing. Isn't that powerful? That's amazing. Sometimes we just make it too hard. Just love God. Love one another. You know, if you love God, you want to be at church. You love God, you want to worship. And you love God, you want to be in prayer. You love God, you want to be in the Word. You love God, you'd be wanting to tell others about Him. You love others, you want to be there for them. You want to minister to their need. You want to lay down your... Just love. Just love. And this is what Jesus taught. Matthew 22, verse 34 through 40, when he was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? He says, let me tell you what it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. Just love God. And the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Every command God has given summed up in one word, love. Two areas, love God supremely, love one another sacrificially, and you've got it. It's powerful. It's powerful. Let me show you this again in the book of Romans 13. It mentions the same thing. It expounds it a little bit. Romans 13 down in verse 8. Romans 13 verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Love. If I truly love God, I won't put any other gods before Him. If I truly love God, I won't take His name in vain. If I truly love God, I'll remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. If I love others, I won't bear false witness. If I love others, I won't covet their things. If I love others, I won't steal from them. It's just all summed up in love. And so our liberty in Christ is not a liberty to now ignore the laws, though it's no big deal, but it is a liberty to now fulfill the law in love as it is meant to be fulfilled. As I said, the moment you see someone, you know, using their professed freedom in Christ to abandon the law of God, make light of what God says, make light of you know, basic ABC things of Christianity, pray, read your Bible, that's not that big of a deal. Be in church, tell others about Jesus, just simple things, it's not that big of a deal. Sin's not that big of a deal. Understand, they have no clue what freedom in Christ is. They don't know. And that may be, as I said last time, because they're lost.
They've never truly experienced that freedom because they've never been set free and been given a new nature by the power of God that comes through faith in Christ, through the Holy Spirit. If they did, then that new nature would be producing in them a love for God, not a justification of disobeying Him. But it'd be owning up to that and saying, I've got to let go of my sin. Oh, how I hate it. And I want to obey my God more and more. Verse 15, we'll try to get through just a little bit more of this. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now that's the opposite of love. This is what happens when you forsake the law and you're not obeying the things of God toward one another, our God, and out of love. The law shows us how to love one another. It's the forsaking of the law that causes us to bite, devour one another. That's the imagery of wild animals just in a vicious fight, tearing one another to pieces. And that's what we see go on in the world a lot. These last 4 years, there's been a lot of that. You know, if you're not on that side and their agenda and promoting all that, well, then they'll just cancel you out, shut you up. Lawsuits, Trump had been through a lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, trying to keep him from being able to run for presidency, keep him out of it. Whatever they can do, I mean, get on the bandwagon or we're going to eat you alive. We see that all the time in the world, in relationships, at work, people vying for power, vying for the position, whatever it is, just tearing one another to pieces. But that's not what is to be going on in the church. You realize that's what does go on in a lot of churches? Tearing one another to pieces, biting and devouring one another. Oliver B. Green preached way back in the 60s. He had a message entitled Cannibal Christians. And it was all about that, you know, the fighting, the feuding, the tearing of one another apart, people vying for position and power and trying to have their way in the church and in the church body. And boy, it's a sad thing when that happens. A lot of times that's why, not always, I don't want to, you know, broad brush a church, but sometimes that's why there's a Second Baptist Church or a Third Baptist Church, because there used to just be a First Baptist Church, but there was a fight and the whole thing blew apart. So they went over here and started Second Baptist, and then they blew up, and so then there was Third Baptist, and there's some towns with First, Second, and Third Baptist. And it's not always that way. Could be a different foundation that raised those churches up. Don't want to broad, but sometimes there's a fight, a squabble, so they just go somewhere else to another church and they take that mess in there, ruin that church or cause issues in that church, or they start a new church. But this isn't what God's called us to do. We're to love one another, build up one another, minister to one another. That's the freedom that we now have in Christ, to serve one another through love. Remember back in verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." But what does avail? But faith working through love. This is what avails. Faith, true faith in Jesus that causes us to be born again. And true faith in Christ always has the fruit of works. Varying degrees, but fruit, always. Never without fruit. If faith has no work, then that faith is dead. It's not genuine, right? James chapter 2, verse 17. But true faith works. But how does it work? As again, out of legalism, out of some burden? No. Faith working through love. Serving one another in love. Faith working through love. And that makes all the difference. Don't read your Bible because you have to, but because of who He is and what He's done for you. And you get to, and you want to. Don't come to church because you have to. If you're drifting there, you've drifted. We all can fall into that. Legalism. Get out of that ditch. Get back to loving Him and serving Him out of love. That's the motive. That's the freedom we have in Christ. New nature, new power, new motive to serve Him out of love. Serve one another in love. If you're making excuses for disobedience and drifting, get out of that ditch of liberalism. Flee from that. That's not your freedom. Put that flesh to death in the power of God. Wrap yourself around other believers and join yourself to them. Encourage one another. Exhort one another on while we have time. We have been called to freedom. It's not a freedom to indulge the flesh, but to master it. It's not a freedom to forsake the law, but fulfill it. And to do so out of love. Now, since that's the case, how do we live this? How do we really make this happen when we go out these doors or we wake up tomorrow morning? That leads us to the last thing. We'll just touch it. Verse 16, the power for Christian liberty. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, we don't do this in our own power or ability. Impossible. That's a miserable place to be, trying to do it in your own power or ability. But we do this in the power and ability of the Holy Spirit of God who is living in us. Walk in the Spirit. And we'll try to look at that, Lord willing, next time. We'll try to unpack that some and make a part three. But church, there's a freedom we have in Jesus. If you're in Christ, you're free. You're free from the condemnation of sin and the law. If you're in Christ, you can no longer be condemned. You're His. Free from the law as a means of salvation. You ain't going to get there that way. You can abandon any hope of trying to earn God's approval or earn salvation. You abandon all that for Christ. It's all yours in Christ. You're free. But it's not a freedom to live in sin and make light of it. It's not a freedom to forsake the commands of God. It is now a freedom to love God and serve one another. Divine, empowered love. The love of God in our hearts. This is our freedom, beloved. This is what Christ has done for us. This is what He's done. And so we need to examine ourselves this morning. Where are we before God? Are you truly saved? Are you truly in Christ? Are you born again? Do you have a new nature? Have you abandoned all hope in yourself and anything you can do, or trying to earn salvation or earn, you know, eternal life in heaven by, you know, your own goodness, your own effort, trying to obey God? Have you abandoned all that for Jesus and put your faith in Him alone? Are you truly saved? Is there a new nature in you? And if you are saved, then have you drifted into one ditch or the other? Where you're comfortable and Christianity is easy because you're complacent and you're letting go some of the things God's called you to, making light of it, and forsaking the clear commands of God to us as His people. There's new power, new motive, divine enabled Holy Spirit power and true God-sent love in our hearts to be who He's called us to be, to do what He's called us to do. So maybe we just need to come and examine ourselves this morning and get where God wants us to be, whatever that may be. Maybe it's something else I haven't even mentioned, but you know, because God's put His finger on it and He's saying, come back to Me. There's forgiveness there. There's cleansing there. There's salvation there. It's our greatest need. If you need to be saved, come and be saved today. As we stand, Hannah's going to pull up another song of invitation for us on the projector. Let me pray for us. And I just want to encourage you to respond to God. You need to come and pray this morning. Come. If I can help you, I would love to sit down with you or kneel down with you and just answer any questions or just pray for you, whatever your need may be. Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You very clearly define for us what it means to be set free in Christ and how distorted this gets, God, among many professing Christians or churches. The false teachers have come in and turned Your grace into lasciviousness and license to sin, and so much is perverted in the professing church. But even among the true church or the truly redeemed, we can drift from this. And that is our sinful fleshly nature. And oh God, we pray for divine enablement to put that flesh to death and operate from the Holy Spirit power of love. And that motive of love to serve You and one another. And so God, help us today. Save any among us who need to be saved. Help us to examine our hearts. God, your will be done in us. Don't let us drift or sit where we are. But God, make us more like your Son. Less and less of us, more and more of Christ, till there's nothing left of us, but all that is left is Jesus. Oh God, help us. We need you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. As we sing, you need to come this morning. You come. This is how we come to Jesus. If you need to come, you come just like this. If you need to come this morning, I want to encourage you to come as we sing. And don't hesitate. Every failure in the Christian life is a failure to love. Every sin. Every time we drift off, we struggle, we sin. I failed to love God as He deserves to be loved. I failed to love someone else maybe as they deserve to be loved. So God has called us to love. And so we just need to get back to falling in love with Jesus. And that love He's put in our heart, just flowing out of us, that motive, it is so crucial. I'm telling you, this is the battle, the flesh warring against the spirit. I can so easily be in one ditch or the other in my daily life, making light of things that I ought not make light of, thinking, you know, that God will accept me if I just can do enough. Don't live there. It's miserable. There's a freedom we have. But oh, it is a freedom to put that sin to death and now serve God and one another in love. And there's a divine enablement for that. Amen. And that love has been shed abroad in our hearts through Christ. Oh, this is the freedom we have in Jesus. Brother Isaac, would you close us this morning, please, in prayer?